Well, friends, I've entitled the message today, Christ's Words of Life. And even as I read through this passage, I'm reminded that in order to make this link today, we need to think about the father-son relationship so intricately portrayed in Proverbs in light of the truth of our adoption. Adoption, says the Shorter Catechism, question 34, is an act of God's free grace whereby we are received into the number and have a right to all the privileges of the sons of God. God our Father becomes our Father in the gospel. It's when we understand that He created us, that humanity as a whole has fallen into sin, and that God has begun a rescue operation by which He will save all of His elect people from every nation. It's when we understand this plan, and it's when we believe God's promises that He truly becomes our Father. That's what baptism is all about. I recently saw an article where a godly Reformed theologian was reminding the church to improve or to look to its baptism, to remember that you are who you are, not because of the water, but because of what that water is pointing you toward, namely the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit at work in your life, that you're born through the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. And friends, when we understand that, then this today makes sense. Because now that you're God's children, now God will teach you. Now God will work in you. Now God will put you in those uncomfortable classrooms of life in order to teach you that you are nothing. God will be with you even as you age, and even as you have those senior moments that happen more and more as you get older, and as you grapple with your own human weakness, you learn of God's strength. God our Father gave us two ears and one mouth for a purpose. The biblical testimony that we read week by week is from God. Because it's from God, it matches reality. This is why the generation, the older generation must teach the younger generation. I've been watching, I observe with interest our young people around our congregation, and I realize that many of our children are at a point where they're learning to be clever with words. They're learning how to make poems. The poems don't say much, but they at least rhyme. They're learning how to make jokes. The jokes aren't funny, but at least in their minds, they're jokes. They're learning words, but their words often don't match reality. And one of the challenges for those who are older, who are more seasoned, who are a little more wise, is to help children to think about that we live in God's reality, therefore we must think in God's thoughts. And in order to think in God's thoughts, we must think in God's words. The biblical testimony is from God, and therefore it matches reality. Sons and daughters ought to listen carefully to their parents and mentors and find the words of life. And I want you to notice in our passage here today, in verse 22, it says, they, that is the words, are life to those who find them and healing to their flesh. Then in verse 23, it says that the springs of life flow from human hearts. We need to grasp the springs of life that flow from our own hearts. We need to walk with integrity in paths of new obedience. I'll be inviting you to come to the Lord's table, the table of your Father, in just a few moments. The Father planned and purposed this table. And that's what, well, that's one of the reasons that he sent his only son into human history in order that he might set this table and convene his disciples together around this table. Oh, friends, what a blessing it is to come to the table of our Father with a faith that is informed by the words of life. Do you see, on one hand, there's the sufficiency of what God says. And on the other hand is this childlike trust of faith. When right teaching, when biblical teaching, when true doctrine that corresponds not with tradition but with reality, when that is grasped hold of by someone who exercises this simple, joyful, childlike faith. Again, I would remind you, Jesus said, unless you have the faith of a little child, a little child. He's emphasizing like the youngest child in this room today. You cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Watch the children. Watch how readily they trust the words of their parents. Watch the parents sweat, especially younger parents, as you find yourselves now entrusted with this eternal being. God created them, we procreated them, now what do we do with them? Well, you must instruct them. You must teach them in the way that they should go. Let's look at this passage in a little more detail today under 4 points. The first one is the description of the words of life. Notice that these words are given shape. They're given content in this passage. First of all, we learn something about the words when he says, "My son." These are words that are given in the context of familial relationship. Notice that this father also understands his son. And I imagine sometimes there's been more than once when I've physically taken my knuckles and I've knocked on my son's heads and said, "Son, be attentive. Listen. Wake up." The words of life must penetrate into the core of our being. Notice that it involves listening. Again, children, you've heard this. I hope you've heard this from me many times. You have one mouth, so you are able to speak half as much as you listen. You need to learn the discipline of listening, of sitting at the feet of your parents, at the feet of your Sunday school teachers, at the feet of your teachers at school, at the feet of all the mentors that God gives you, and listening. Let your heart be instructed. This is what it means to incline or to bend your ear, to listen carefully. If you take your hand and you put it behind and you make your ear larger, you can actually hear the sounds change because now you're drawing in the words and you can hear them better. Verse 21 says, "Let them not escape." Here, think of words being like butterflies or like birds. If you grab them in a net, now you've got them. But otherwise, they're going to flit and go away. Not because the words themselves are flighty, but because your heart is flighty. Because you are so easily distracted. And I want to challenge us today to remember that what the Bible is talking about here are words. We are a culture of images. We are a culture of actions. We are a culture of pragmatism. We need to remember the importance of words. Take. Eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Friends, these are words of life. It says here in the second part of verse 21, keep them within your heart. Again, this is a description of the word, that the words must be anchored. They must be rooted. They must be safeguarded. They must be protected within the heart. It's not enough to simply hear the words. How often is it that we hear words and they bounce off our eardrums and there's some vague impression, but there's no lasting transformation from words? Words are cheap, friends. We need to use words thoughtfully and carefully. Parents, you need to speak. Children, you need to listen. For they are life to those who find them. Now, we're down in a cave and we're searching. We're searching for the hidden treasure. And finding takes work. Children, don't sit back and wait for everything to come to you. The purpose of education is not entertainment. The purpose of education is preparation for service. If you don't have the sense of God's calling on your life, then education is not going to be very attractive, because it's more fun to watch YouTube or listen to your iPod or whatever the case may be. Education is not the purpose of education. Is preparation, not entertainment. They're life to those who find them. And then notice it says there at the end of verse 22, and healing to all their flesh. Friends, do you need to be healed? Is there something fundamentally broken about you? Do you understand? Do you reflect upon your brokenness? This is a segue to verse 23. This leads us to the second point this morning, the default need for the words of life. The default need. Look at verse 23, as now we turn our attention from the words themselves, from the Father speaking to the Son. Now we're looking into our own hearts. I don't know how much you do this. Do you think about yourself very much? The Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. It assumes that you love yourself. And there is some sense in which we need to accept ourselves. But I find when I look at my own heart, I see my own unworthiness, my own lack, my own inadequacies. When we look into our heart, we need to exercise what this verse calls vigilance. Look at your heart with all of your senses on edge. Don't settle down in yourself. Settle down in Christ. The gospel drives us out of our own heart, leads us to Christ, but then it calls us then to view ourselves again. Imitate me, the apostle says, as I imitate Christ. Come out from them, be separate, touch nothing unclean, you who bear the vessels of the Lord. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't be conformed to this world, be transformed. Keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. The springs of life. This is not like the spring of eternal youth. It's not like you just touch this spring of life and suddenly you're magically healed. That's not it at all. Rather, the word springs here is, it's what's going to form the rivers and the river courses of your life. Remember that the springs that come out of the hills there in Galilee, they're what form the rivers. They're what shape the land. Your life will be contoured by the issues or the springs of life. Your heart must be converted from a well to a spring. Jesus, speaking of the Holy Spirit, says that when we are born again, that our hearts become a spring of life. In John chapter 2, consider, friends, your own heart. Verse 24 says, put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Now notice that we're not talking anymore about the words that the Father is speaking to the Son. The Father is still speaking to the Son, but now he's instructing his Son to pay attention to the words that he himself is speaking. Put away from you, Son, crooked speech. Speech that is not straight. Speech that does not match reality. Speech that deceives. Speech that inflates your own ego. Speech where you're looking out for your own interests, not those of others. Friends, the words of life, the words of life lead us to meditate upon the issues of life that are flowing out. The question is not whether you have a life. The question is, what kind of a life do you have? And the older we get, it seems, the more that we see how the decisions we made many years ago, for good or for ill, those have a way of shaping our lives. And young people, if you ever feel like your parents are contending with you and pleading with you and exhorting you, it's because they're remembering the decisions that I made. They have charted the course of my life. Keep your heart with vigilance. Remember that vigilance is expecting surprises. Vigilance is what's required of a sentry as he marches back and forth at his post. He has no idea when that enemy will come. But he knows that if the enemy comes and he is not ready in that split second, the entire purpose for him being at his sentry post is in vain, because he missed that cry of alarm. He must be vigilant. Jeremiah 6:16 is an interesting passage. As the Lord is speaking to Israel, he says, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls. Why should we keep our heart with vigilance? Because we need rest for our souls. But Jeremiah 6 goes on and says, but they said, we will not walk in it. I set watchmen over you, saying, pay attention to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not pay attention. There was a sluggishness. There was a carelessness. There was a casualness about their lives. And they said, we don't want trumpets. We don't want watchmen. We don't want ancient paths. We want to do what we want to do. I want to do it my way. The default need for the words of life is that our hearts are fallen. They're broken. They're affected by sin, our own sin, and also the sin of our first parents. This leads us to the third point this morning, and that is the destination of the words of life. Look at where we are to have our eyes fixed in verse 25. It says, let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. And friends, I simply don't know of a better illustration but that time when at last, after hearing and hearing and hearing about the celestial city, Pilgrim was finally able to go up on top of a high hill and look through that newfangled contraption that had just been invented a matter of a few years before John Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress that newfangled contraption called the telescope. And there, Christian was able to use that telescope, and finally he thought he could see the destination of his journey. And he fixed his eyes upon it, and that motivated him to continue and to finish his journey. The question is, what path are you on? Maybe going back to verse 23, is it simply that there's water gushing and it's going to run somewhere? Or is it that you're on a path that is leading to a destination? The reason that we need to keep our hearts, the reason we need to put away crooked speech and devious talk, is because our lives have a purpose. It's because we're going somewhere. It's because God has promised us life eternal with Him forever. And thus, we need to pay attention. The purpose of the Lord's table is to refocus our lives and our minds upon what is true. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Him. To come to the Lord's table is to be surrounded by His embrace. It's to publicly identify with Christ and with His church. It's to be nurtured. It's to have nutrition in order that we might continue to walk in the path of life. Look at verse 27. It says, "Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil." There's a way that people can be drawn into the path that leads to life. We see examples of this throughout Pilgrim's Progress, where Pliable joins Christian, but then he turns his foot away from the path. We see Faithful, we see Hopeful, who join him and walk along that path, and they endure to the end and thus receive that free gift of salvation. But my question today is, where is your path taking you? Is it drawing you closer and closer? Are you being conformed to the image of Christ? Is He growing large in your view? Or is He over in the corner somewhere? We're going to think about Him for an hour a week, and then we're going to go do our own thing. Jesus reminds us, small is the gate and narrow the way that leads to life. Do you want these words of life, these springs of life? Then walk the path of life. It is narrow, but there is an incredible city, the New Jerusalem, at the end of it. This leads us to the fourth point this morning, and that is the decision before the words of life. And again, would point you back to the beginning where we started. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. It's when we understand who we are as sons of God, as daughters of God, that God is our Father and that we are His children. That because we love Him, we want to be attentive to His words. Here's the decision point then. John 8, verses 34 to 36, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. A slave to sin may live successfully in this life for a time." But then Jesus says, "But the Son remains forever. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Or these are my favorite words regarding adoption in the entire Bible, is in John 1, verses 11 through 13. It says, "Jesus came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. have you been born of God? Are you a new creature in Christ? Has the kingdom of God broken in to your mind and your heart and given you this life from above? The words of life are now pumping and breathing life into your soul. Friends, then this table is for you. It will sustain you through the hard times, because those hard times come for all of us. Or consider Romans chapter 8. It says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ." And then I love how he adds this on the end, "provided we suffer with him, in order that we might also be glorified with him." First the cross, then the crown. First the humiliation, then the exaltation. Oh, friends, have you learned to listen to Christ's words of life? Are you listening to your Father? Are you listening as he speaks in the ministry of his Son? Are you a student of the Gospels? I learned this word over when I was over in Pakistan. The Injil, the Gospels. There's the Torah, the law. There's the Zabur, the Psalms. There's the Injil, the Gospels. Friends, have you learned covenant theology? Have you learned how these parts of the Bible don't replace each other? They build on each other. And they're bringing us to Christ in order that we might have life freely in his name. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Friends, if you have not learned the truth of the gospel, then this is just mysticism for you today. If you have not been born again, then the best you can get here is magic. There is no magic here today. There is the power of God available for those who feed upon the elements by faith. You will be able to feed on Christ and all the benefits of his redemption. Let us pray. Oh Lord, our God, how we thank you for your provision for us. We ask, O Lord, that you would bless us and guide us as we come to your table now. O Lord, feed us as we seek your face. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.